Welcome to Telling the Tales, the podcast where we go through every single Telltale and sometimes, as in this episode, Telltale adjacent video games. I'm your host, Mitchell Farley Wolf, and I'm joined, as per always, by Dustin Cornelius, the VR man, Jackson.
I don't remember what real reality is.
Wow, you've been in there for so long, huh?
I can't live on the outside anymore.
So, folks at home, here's the dealio, Brohelio, about what we're going to be talking about this episode. Sam and Max, This Time It's Virtual, is not a Telltale game. It was developed by Happy Giant Games, published by Big Sugar. And
Big Sugar.
And it's sort of, as far as I can tell, like a stylistic continuation of the Sam and Max Telltale games.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. They have a lot of, I mean, you don't see, like, any characters from the Telltale games outside of Sam and Max, but there's little things here and there that, kind of say, yeah, this is the same world.
Cool. As you might have gleaned by me waiting for Dustin to, confirm or deny what I had just said, I didn't play it. I made a strong attempt. I even got
In the way.
Yeah, I got a VR machine in the place, and then it was like, use your special controllers. And now it was like, I don't think so. I don't have it. And the game is like, well, we won't turn on then. So I couldn't do it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Could not do it. Could not work it out. So unfortunately, this time, we're only going to listen to Dustin talk about his experience with the game. Now, Dustin, you did finish it.
I finished it this morning. Our good friend Adam, my roommate, owns a PSVR. He has, like, the PlayStation Move controllers and everything. So, yeah, it was totally fine.
Cool. Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about this. I think it's okay, I think, that I didn't play it for this podcast because it is not a Telltale episode. This is kind of already us. It's a bit of a bonus, episode. We're stretching. We're flexing our muscles as far as they go.
Yeah, this one's a little present for you.
Yeah, it's a little present listener. For you, the listener. So, yeah, without any further ado, Dustin Cornelius, the VR man Jackson.
Hello.
Tell me about this. Tell me about this.
Okay, so Sam and Max are in it.
Uh-huh.
It's VR. I had never done VR before. This was my very first time.
Isn't that too nutty?
It's tough because
it is hard. Yeah.
This game, I think, is not bad. It's kind of a mixed bag. I feel like I enjoyed it. At the same time, I feel like VR is maybe not my favorite way to play video games.
Mm.
I came out of this experience not really jonesing for more. Which isn't to say I won't, like, not play more VR in the future, but, you know, I'm not all of a sudden like, VR's the best ever, I love it! I'm just kind of like, yeah. I'll just play regular video games, though.
Did you play anything else at all in the time that you spent with your VR machine?
No, but I watched Adam play that Astrobot game.
Oh, cool.
That looked maybe a little more up my alley because you don't use motion controls. You just use a PlayStation 4 controller.
Oh, really? There's no use of the motion controls at all?
I mean, there's some. You know, you, like, move the controller around, but you're like controlling a little guy.
It's not
using
hand
the
tracking.
Yeah, it's not like you're using the PS Move controllers or anything. And I feel like those games where you gotta, like, move around a lot, like, really get physical with it, like this one, takes a lot out of you. And that's not necessarily what I want to do when playing games.
Yeah, so I'm on the Sam and Max wiki right now, and just on the page This Time It's Virtual, and I'm looking at the trivia section, and there's some things I did not know here. First off, you don't play as Sam or Max, you play as a character named Lumpy.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be you. It's basically you. You are training to be freelance police officer like Sam and Max.
Mm-hmm.
They just call you Lumpy because they don't care what your name is.
Sure, yeah.
Hey, yeah, they're like, we're just going to call you Lumpy.
That's pretty good. That's a very Sam and Max thing to call you.
Yeah, you know, I feel like when it comes to, like, capturing the essence of what Sam and Max is, I feel like this game is, it mostly succeeds, but there's a couple points in it where I'm like, well, this could be in, like, any game, and that's a little disappointing. But, you know, the writing is still very strong, the characters are very good. It's just a cool novelty to be in the world of Sam and Max. I get to be a character in Sam and Max and talk and hang out with the boys.
Yeah. Did you start to think of any backstory for your Lumpy? Any, well, like, what's Dustin's Lumpy versus maybe my Lumpy if I was playing?
My Lumpsona, you're asking.
Yeah, my Lumpsona.
No, I did not want to think of what my back's... I assumed it would just be, like, my life up until now.
Okay.
Except now I am in Sam and Max.
I think I could be called Lumpy, and it would track.
Would you own it?
I'd be sad. I would be sad if I was Lumpy.
I don't know why people started calling me this. Am I Lumpy?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm lumpier than anyone else.
When the first person called me Lumpy, I thought, that guy's a jerk. When the third person called me Lumpy, I thought, I'm a jerk.
I'm the one in the wrong here.
I really should have been less Lumpy. There's another bit here in the trivia section. The music in this game is mostly recycled from the three Telltale series titles, with 10 brand new tracks, once again composed by Jared Emerson Johnson. That's fucking huge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's enormous.
To be perfectly honest, I did not really notice a lot of the music because I was just it just asks a lot of you as a player. You're doing a lot in this game.
Okay.
So I wasn't really that. I was more focused on like what I was supposed to be doing. But what music I heard was good. Oh, and Jared Emerson Johnson plays a character in this too.
Who's he play?
He plays a character named Theodore Hetty Talks.
Okay, and what is this character?
He's a villain. So this game has, I guess you could say they're boss fights. They're like confrontations against villains, even if they're not like traditional fights. And so he's just kind of the first guy. He's gonna detonate his neutron disruptor wave.
Oh, it's TED Talk? It's a joke on TED Talks?
Yeah, so he like talks a lot and Sam and Max are like, okay, shut up.
What a joke. What a thing to joke about TED Talks. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, he did a good job with them. There's really not a huge focus on side characters in this because most of the game is you at the Aqua Bears theme park doing just like little mini games. Like the game is mostly comprised of you're at this theme park, and this is your training, basically. It's your freelance police training.
The comparison that I came up with, and tell me if this is off base, but it's reminiscent of if you played the first Rayman Raving Rabbids game for the Wii.
Oh yeah, that was my first Wii game.
Yeah, is it like that? Like that's what I'm imagining with the mini game jumping around. Aspect
kind of yeah. You know, like each ride at the theme park is like a different little mini game. There's a little more to them. Like the ones in Rayman Raving Rabbids are pretty short, pretty simple. These ones are bigger. And they're kind of a mixed bag. Some of them are fun, some of them are not that great. But I wonder if part of it comes down to just, like, our setup. Because yesterday, when I was playing this, I was really struggling. Like, it felt like the game was doing a bad job of keeping track of where my hands were, where, but I might have been part of the issue too. I feel like I wasn't doing a good job looking at the screen.
Okay.
Because if you face away from the TV,
shit in your face where you're looking.
Yeah. So the way I did it was today, I just made sure face where the sound is coming from, because the sound is coming from the TV.
Oh.
And, you know, the headset has little earbuds you can put into to really immerse yourself. But I did not do that because I wanted to keep track of where I was facing.
Oh, interesting. Weird. Okay. I would have thought that you would definitely want those earbuds in because of the localized audio.
I didn't. I felt like I was better off not using them.
You do you?
For that. I feel like it just would have been a more annoying experience for me if I did. Even though I totally see the benefits as well.
Okay. So you play as a guy who wants to be part of Sam and Max's team. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you go through mini games in order to test if you can be. That's the story.
Yeah, well, there's like another story ongoing alongside it. You know, you fight the supervillains that show up, but that's like the main part of the story until the end. Okay. When a bigger story kind of starts developing.
Who are these villains, and are they good ones?
Well, I already brought up Theodore Tox.
Did you like him?
He was okay. You know, he's just kind of a typical villain, but he has a hoverboard that you get to steal and use, which was very fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be my favorite part of the game is you just take his hoverboard, and for some of the minigames and final boss sections, you just kind of get to ride on it and, like, go wherever you want.
Mm.
So that's cool. And the second boss is... So you go to a convenience store, you get a call about some shit going down at a local convenience store called Nutrahole.
Nutrahole.
Yeah, and there's demons. There's
shit.
Demons at this convenience store.
I hate that about that. Okay, yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, the cashier was just like, fuck, sorry, I was doing stuff and demons came here and it sucked. And so you have to do puzzles. These are probably my favorite parts of the game because, so like I said, most when you're at the theme park, it's mainly the mini games, but the parts in between them, it feels more like you're doing point and click adventure game stuff in first person VR.
How is that experience? Is that a good fit for VR?
I thought it was cool. It can be a little frustrating at times, but I feel like it's mainly because I'm really trying to figure out what to do with these puzzles. Also, I have this fucking huge headset on my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes it more annoying. But it was fun figuring it out, and the animations on the demons were really cool. You're just able to, like, go around wherever you want. So you're in this convenience store, this demon, there's three demons here. And so the first one is just like eating all the chips.
Hate that.
And yeah, he sucked. You got to get him out of there. And so you have to go around the convenience store looking for something to just get him out of here. And I'm really struggling to remember what I did to get him. You have to, like, feed him stuff. And if you don't feed him the right stuff, he will throw stuff at you, which is annoying. But, you know, it doesn't hurt you. It just, like, covers your screen until you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find the right thing he wants to get him out of there. He explodes, and then another demon comes in right after. And this demon wants ice cream. This demon fucking loves ice cream. So, you know those, like, glass cases some stores have where they just have, like, ice cream bars inside you can reach in and grab.
Oh, yeah, like that. The ones that look like they've been there for 5 months, at least.
They always
look like your grandfather put those ice cream bars in.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, Flintstones Push Pops. Haven't seen those in about 15 years.
Yeah, well, it's okay. They won't light on fire because they're full of lead they've been painted with.
Is that true?
No, they're just that old. I don't know. I'm trying to make jokes, awesome. Dustin, but you can tell I didn't play the game, so I can't be funny.
No, it's okay. I just wasn't sure if that's really... I was like, oh my god, I ate a lot of those.
No, it's asbestos, not lead.
Oh, okay, that's not as bad.
Yeah.
But, so you need to find something to... this monster likes cold little snacky wackies. So you gotta find something hot. And luckily, there's very spicy burritos in the freezer. You got to warm them up by putting them in the microwave, warming them up for a little bit. But he won't eat them. He's not stupid. He knows what a burrito is.
I would think that the spiciness of it doesn't really affect the hotness of it. But maybe to demons, that demons are so stupid they don't even know the difference.
Well, it's both. It they're spicy, but you also need to heat it up in the microwave first.
Okay.
But there's popsicle sticks right next to the microwave, so you just pop one of those in the burrito and put it in the ice cream freezer. And I guess the demons are stupid enough to eat them then, because he eats the burrito thinking it's a popsicle, and then he explodes.
He explodes if he eats wrong food?
Well, spicy food, because he's like an icy skeleton.
Okay. What kind of demon would you be?
I like chocolate milk.
Oh, I don't think I'd be food related.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
What would you be? I wasted my answer.
Nah, I don't know. It seems dumb to think about.
Ruby. So, anyway, the third demon.
Sorry, man. Hey, Dustin, I'm giving you a hard time. I don't know why. I picked to be feisty today, I think.
Yeah, you picked the perfect episode for it, considering all the work I had to do for it.
Well, my responsibilities have been freed up a little bit, so...
You have all the time in the world to make this episode hard for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So the next demon, he's in the next aisle eating all of the cereal.
Hate that.
He's just grabbing, like... Yeah, this demon loves cereal. So you're like, well, what can I do to ruin this demon's day? What just destroys cereal? And so you have to go to the milk fridge and get a carton of milk.
Milk makes cereal good.
Well, it also makes it soggy.
I guess, but that's like, that encourages me to eat it.
Well, it sure encouraged the demon to eat it.
Okay.
Because, well, no, I guess it didn't, because he exploded, too.
His cereal became good, and then he hated that?
No, so what happens is, you get a super soaker in the next aisle. There's, like, an aisle for just, like, little things. Like, hula hoops you can get. Little squirt guns. So you get the super soaker, and you switch out the... You know the little canister the water goes in?
Sure. You put milk in it.
Yeah, you put milk in it. And then you spray the milk at that, at the ghost. Like, you know what? Maybe this guy did not like milk with his cereal, because he was just eating it out of the box.
I would think that just the default position of having the gun shoot water would do more damage to cereal.
It did not. You needed the milk.
Okay. All right.
Well, they also didn't have water there.
The whole store doesn't have water?
There's no water you can get, at least for this fight.
Okay.
You know, there's no sinks.
I don't know.
But there
that.
Was milk.
I don't believe it, but all right, game.
So you get rid of him, but then the fourth demon shows up, and he's like the biggest of them all. He's like, let me look up what his name is.
Is it Todd?
His name is... Yes, it is Todd.
Yeah,
I have the names of all of the demons, actually.
Ooh.
So the one eating the chips was named Hodad the Devourer.
Cool.
Yeah, the one eating the ice cream was just called Ice Imp. Then the serial one is just called Serial Ghoul. Hodad gets like a name and the others are just kind of descriptors. But yeah, the last one is Todd. And he just loves scanning things at the checkout.
Cool. I like Todd.
Yeah, he's cool. He's like this giant, just red demon guy. You need to get him something to freeze him down. And they have, you know, a slushy machine in the back. So you get him one of those. He scans it and drinks it. And that, like, freezes him up. And this is kind of where the puzzle part falls apart for me a little. And it might be on my end. I might have done a bad job listening to what they wanted me to do. But you're supposed to get a demonic knife out of one of the cereal boxes as, like, a prize.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. I was, like, stumbling around for a good, like, probably half hour trying to find out what to do. Until our good friend Adam looked it up and said, oh, so there's, like, a knife you gotta get in the cereal box. And I'm like, oh, I felt it was I might have missed them saying to look in the cereal box. It could totally be me, but I remember thinking, I don't recall that being hinted at all.
Yeah, yeah. That seems so tough, but also pretty in line with a lot of point and click stuff.
Logic puzzles, yeah. So then Max is like, oh, let me do it. So you give Max the knife, and then you pick up Max, and you get to throw Max at the demon with your own hands.
Cool.
You get to pick up Max and he curls up into a ball and you toss him at the demon. The demon shatters, but he possesses Max. And that sucks.
Cool. Okay. All right.
But you stop him by... So he's in like this demonic circle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put hula hoops around it. Oh, you know what? There's a part I totally forgot.
Okay.
There's holy water here in the store. And I forget what you used that. Oh, that's how you freeze him. That you have to put holy water in the slushy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that'll freeze him and kill him.
So you do kill Todd.
Yeah. You use the hula hoops, put them around Max, and they just kind of orbit around. Then you save him. You save Max, and everything's fine. You save the convenience store. Todd is gone.
All right.
It was cool. It was a cool... That's another, like, oh, this is like a point-and-click in VR. It was cool. I like the moments like that.
Yeah, so explain to me again how the structure of the game works. So, like, you're given these mini-games... And is it the case that, like, every few mini games that you beat, you get one of these, like, story missions, like the neutral hole thing?
Yeah, yeah, okay, exactly. Okay. So the game starts out, I'll just go through the structure really fast. You start out on the street, and Sam and Max are fighting this gigantic, like, four-headed serpent monster thing. And they're like, hey, the new guy's here, you want to help us out with this? And you use a rocket launcher to blow up the monster. And then they're like, okay, so you're the new guy. We're going to put you through some tests. We're going to go to Captain Aqua Bear's... hold on, I wrote it down.
Captain Aqua Bear's
Fun Time Park.
Cool. Was it fun?
Yeah, and it's some of it was fun. You know, some of them were better than others.
Was it at least time?
Yeah, it was a time.
Wow, that even that didn't seem very definitive.
So, yeah, you go there and they're like, we're going to put you through some tests using these broken down rides. This is an abandoned amusement park, perfect for testing you out. So each area of the theme park has three mini games to do. And so this first half, or first third, has the Voyage of Pain, which is like an obstacle course.
Okay.
You have Bombs Away, which is, oh my God. Well, I can't remember what it was. Well,
how are these minigames? Are they fast? How fun are they?
Some of them are fun. I'll take a while.
Okay.
Like the Voyage of Pain was a fun little obstacle course. I had fun with the obstacle courses, at least this first one. You just go through. There's a part where you're like on a treadmill, sort of not a treadmill, but it's like a moving floor, and you just have to dodge like spinning blades, axes swinging around. I didn't do a good job of that. But then there's stuff like climbing a wall. You grab onto like a chandelier and swing down a rope and have to drop down onto a padded mat for you to land on. There's like a basketball section where you have to throw bombs into a basketball hoop. You reach a certain score and then you can continue. There's a dart throwing portion. It was pretty fun. I liked it. Just like a course of different little things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then bombs away. You had to disarm a bomb that is in the shape of someone's head. It's you know how in Sam and Max Hit the Road you had the guy's head that was a damned ugly time bomb you threw out the window?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except instead of throwing it out the window, it's basically Bop It.
Okay.
You know Bop It, right?
Yeah, dude.
Sorry.
What's going on, man? You think I don't know Bop It?
You know what? That was my bad. I should have known. But so you have to defuse this bomb by doing what the bomb head says. So if he says like get, then you have to poke it in the eyes. Boop It, you have to boop its nose. Then it has things like Twist It, where a side of its head will come off, and there's like a little lever there, or squeeze it, you know, just various other things you got to do. So with one hand, you have to like turn the head around to get to the various things you got to do. And then, you know, your other hand, you have to do the things.
How well did this work, like on a control level?
It was a little frustrating. Mainly because I felt like there was a few times where, I was holding it in one hand and then I would use the other hand to do it. But then every so often I would try to do what it was asking me to do. But instead, my other hand would grab the head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was frustrating. And then I ended up losing a few times because of that. But you end up doing this like a few more times by the end. And by the end, I kind of got used to it. But at first, it was a little frustrating. Then the third... Oh, go ahead.
I guess what I want to sort of drill down on here is that I feel like mini game Gauntlet is a risky move for a Sam & Max game, because Sam & Max has not really ever been that. But maybe just being in VR kind of makes it make sense. So... like, my question is, would you have preferred this was more traditionally, like, all point and click? Or do you like this approach? Or, yeah, like, how do you feel about that?
I think I liked it for, like, a one-time thing. You know, I wouldn't want this to be, like, every Sam & Max game. But I feel like if you're doing Sam & Max in VR, it's kind of nice to do something different, but also get the in-between stuff where it is more of an adventure game. And, you know, like I said, the games themselves are a mixed bag, but I had fun with some of them, so I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this game is also, it came out over a decade after the last Telltale Sam & Max, and it might be another decade before another Sam & Max, or, you know, maybe never. It's possible that we saw the end of that series. And that would be kind of sad, but I also think that Sam & Max is a series that, like, it really did get a lot
into something else. It got a ton.
Yeah, with all the Telltale seasons it got, I kind of feel like, yeah, you know, I don't feel like this is unfinished business or anything. I wouldn't feel like a ghost is haunting the series the way I feel about some other series.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah, I mean, heavy percent chance this could be the last Sam & Max game, and it's like a different VR minigame thing. Does that feel weird to you, or is this kind of like different enough that it doesn't register in that way?
I feel like it's different enough. You know, it's not like it wouldn't be like a nuts and bolts situation where people are like, oh, is this going to be the last Banjo game we get where it's just left off on this?
Yeah,
which is weird because it's kind of a similar situation. The last Sam and Max game before this was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. I think with nuts and bolts, part of the issue is that it doesn't. It doesn't feel exactly like a spinoff in the way that this does. This feels like a spinoff.
Yeah, totally.
You read This Time It's Virtual, you see what the game's all about, like, oh, this is its own deal. Whereas if it was like, this is the final episode of Sam and Max, like, okay, well, that feels like it's different then.
Yeah, if that were the case, then I would probably not like it as much. But you do get, like, a full Sam and Max little adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a showdown with a big villain. It's fun. But, yeah, I am hoping this isn't the last Sam and Max game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, like you said, it's gotten so much beforehand. If we never got another Sam and Max game again, that would suck, but it got a lot.
Yeah, it got a lot, and also Telltale was around for 8 years after Sam and Max finished, so it's not, like, I've never thought they were sitting on, like, oh, I really want to do a fourth season. Like, that didn't feel like it. It felt like they finished a story. A story of Sam and Max had definitely concluded with the end of Devil's Playhouse.
Totally. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I would love a fourth season of Sam & Max. I think another reason why this feels okay is Sam & Max just always takes on different forms, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has comics, it had the TV show, it had the video games, and now it has a VR game. Sam & Max is just a series that can be so many different things.
Yeah. Okay, so you're doing these mini games at Captain Aquabear's Funtime Park, and
yeah,
they're under the guise of them training you, but it's just like a theme park.
Yeah, they're just like broken down old theme park attractions. It's a pretty abandoned theme park. No one else is there. All of the docks surrounding it are all broken down, garbage everywhere. So I think they just took advantage of that. They're like, hey, nobody's here. Let's set up some tests for the new guy.
Cool. I'm reading here on the wiki. You do three challenges. You get one of the, you get the Teddy Talks, like, mainline. You do three more, you get the Nutrihole mainline. Three more, and then that's all the challenges. And then you go to the Nanoverse.
Yeah. So what happens then is Captain Aquabear himself comes to life and is like, this is our plan for the Aquabears to rise up and take over the world. So they kidnap Sam.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture of Captain Aquabear. He's pretty good.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's a good Sam and Max villain.
Yeah.
Like an Aquabear that's just a pirate.
Well, I didn't realize that Aquabear meant water bear until I saw the picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, he's a tardigrade.
Yeah. So he shrinks Sam down and kidnaps him. So it's just you and Max. And Max is like, oh my god, we gotta get Sam back. So you need to shrink down to their level. And there's like a microscope at the park that they use to shrink you down to get you down to their size. Then you ride in the DeSoto with Max. You shoot at any like bacteria, microbes that are in your way.
Hmm.
Then you reach a tardigrade nightclub.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's where Captain Aquabear is hanging out. So you need to sneak in there. There's like a tardigrade bouncer who's like, hey, you ain't getting in here. Sorry, get out of here. But you have a tardigrade costume that was in one of the other minigames, which was like, I didn't even talk about that minigame, but it was kind of like an escape room. You have to find three keys in the room to escape. And, you know, you do stuff like you got to find a code to a box. There's a bunch of little puzzles in there. That might have been my favorite minigame in there. It was just a fun little thing to figure out. And the puzzles are a little different each time. It's not like the exact same every time. I mean, the puzzles are pretty simple, too. One of them's just like, there's a combination on a toolbox that has something you need. Like, one of the keys is inside of it. And it's four keys, and they're all letters. And there's magnet letters on a refrigerator in the room. And you just have to put the first letter of each of those rows of magnets into the toolbox, and it'll open up. Just puzzles like that. But it was pretty fun doing in first person.
Yeah, there's a there's a vibe here of like it's very reminiscent of the mid 2000s when touchscreen gaming came out with the DS or motion controls with the Wii. Where a lot of games at first, before it kind of became more normalized, a lot of games were like just giving you all these opportunities of, bet you didn't think of drawing a line across the screen. Let's let's have you play poker by dragging cards from one place to another in a Mario.
Is your mind blown yet?
Yeah. Have you thought about using the remote like a dart? Have you thought about it? Because now I am thinking about it.
There's a lot of that in this game. A lot of dart throwing.
Yeah, it's nostalgic in a way to go back to like, oh, here's this new, I mean, not new anymore, really, but new-ish medium of video gaming. Let's just toss 1,000 untested minigames at the player. Some of them might be really fun.
Some of them were pretty fun. Some of them were not.
What's your fave?
That one, the escape room one, I thought was pretty good.
I think escape rooms lend themselves to VR pretty well.
Yeah, it was fun. You have Sam and Max like giving you hints, talking to you while you're doing it. Since I was playing and my hands were occupied with the PlayStation Move controllers, I really couldn't, you know, write down like funny lines that were said throughout the game. The writing is still very good. It's still typical funny Sam and Max back and forth. But the one line I wrote down was in the escape room one, Max asks, "Where do we go when we die, Sam?" And Sam says, "If you're bad, I think you go here." That was funny. And, you know, there were multiple lines that got big laughs out of me. Wish I had remembered them, but I didn't.
I'm glad to hear that the writing came through. I think that's such a big thing with Sam in particular. Like, you just need to have him say the right... He's got to say the right stuff, Dustin. He's got to say it. He's got to say it well.
Yeah, and, you know, the characters all said exactly the right stuff you want them to. Sam is very friendly towards you. Max is the wild card guy. It was fun to just interact with him. It was, especially after so long. This is the first Sam and Max game in a long time, and it's like revisiting old friends.
Why won't Pixar make a Sam and Max movie?
I have to feel like it's because they don't want to. It could be because Steve Purcell doesn't want to, because I feel like...
Are you kidding? I think he'd love to do it.
I don't know if he would want to with them. Disney would probably own it.
No, they wouldn't own the IP. They would own the movie.
Well, that's probably why they don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's probably why Disney wouldn't want to do it. I mean,
Disney's done things they don't own before.
Yeah, I mean, not in a long time. Not their animated movies, I'll say, or like their Pixar movies.
I guess that's true, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Some minigame, I'm trying to think of like other minigames that stood out. There's one where, you know those people carriers in theme parks? They like, they're just like little boxcars above the whole park that carry you around.
Like the monorail looking things?
Kind of. It's more like, you know the one in like Banjo-Tooie that carries you from one side of the park to the other?
Gotcha, yeah, that thing. I don't think I've ever seen one in real life.
I think they got rid of them at Disneyland like a long time ago.
Yeah, because they got to be super dangerous. They're not closed, or I mean, I guess they be closed.
They are. Yeah. So you're in one of those, and you just have like paint balloons that you need to throw and hit various targets around the park. That one was pretty fun. But one issue I had with a couple games is, even if they're fun, some just aren't very Sam and Maxie. Mm-hmm. Like, that one, you really are just going around the park and hitting bullseyes. I guess you have Max, like, shooting, like, I think they were, like, flaming hot dogs at you or something. I didn't get a good look, but he is, like, when you're in, like, the tail end of the ride, he will start throwing things at you, which makes it a little harder. Yeah, that one just didn't really have much of a Sam and Max flavor to it, I guess. And there's another one that's just baseball. Like, Sam is pitching, I guess he's pitching beer bottles at you. I guess that's one thing it does different, but you just have to, like, hit targets that give you, like, a certain amount of points. If you can score home runs to get a lot of points. But it really is just baseball, and I was sitting there like, I'm having a good time with this, but what about this, like, needs to be Sam and Max?
Mm.
But those were rare. It was only, like, a couple of them where I really got that feeling.
So you were talking before about throwing down with Cap and Aqua Bear.
Oh, yeah. So,
is that, like, the final boss?
The reason I... Yeah, that's like the whole final section. The reason I diverted to the escape room one is because in that room, you have a water bear costume that you need to, you don't even do anything with it there. You just kind of move it out of the way because there's stuff underneath it. But it comes back in this because you use it as a disguise. Max hops up on your shoulders and you wear it. It's like a shed water bear skin that you wear to get into the club. And there was another little puzzle beyond that here. All of the other water bears in line have, like, they're doing, like, secret handshakes with the bouncer, but it's in, like, a pattern. Like, one will fist bump, then one will high five, then one will low five. So it's not enough to just, like, do what they're doing. You need to know what the next one was gonna do. So, like, if one high fives and you go after him, you need to know the next one is low five, and then the bouncer will let you into the club.
Okay. It sounds like a thing, I guess. I don't know if it sounds fun. It just sounds like a thing to do in a video game.
I mean, it's an adventure game puzzle. It's just, oh, you figure out what you need to do to progress.
Okay.
Then you get in, and Captain Aqua Bear is saying how... his plan is, he is going to, they're going to go through a portal that makes them bigger. It like makes them grow giant. And then they, since they're indestructible, they can just take over the world. They will be like giant, indestructible water bears. Yeah. So you have to put an end to them by, figuring out a way to put them into, hibernation. And you get that from context clues. There's little globs of things around just floating through the air since, you're all very microscopic, and you feed them to Max to find out what they are. So some of them, and they're color coded. So like, the red ones are, little particles of Dr. Dill's soda, and some of them are little crumbs of Scrumpo's chips.
Can I confess something to you?
Yes, go ahead.
I hate crumbs.
I also hate crumbs.
I hate globs.
Well, here it at least makes sense since you're so microscopic. So they're like just little bits you can get that float around. But I'm not a big fan of globs or crumbs either. Like if there's like crumbs on the table, I'm like, ew, someone clean that.
Yeah.
Unless it's like crumbs of like cookies. Like, you know, when you eat a whole thing of chocolate chip cookies in an hour and then there's like crumbs at the bottom and you want those too. Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm fine eating those crumbs. But it's like if they're on the table and it's like, ew, I don't know what that is. Get someone clean this.
Yeah, just crumbs.
I'm with you.
Ew, you know, ew.
Ew, yucky. So you have to feed these little bits and particles to Max to find out what they are. And Sam and Max, you find out that a combination of some of these particles will put the water bears to sleep. And I think it's the soda and the Scrumpo's crumbs. So you need to get those globs and put them in the foam canister so they can fire foam out throughout the club.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're partiers.
Yeah.
You know what it's like getting a foam party.
I certainly do. I've been accused of foaming it up on several occasions in my time.
That's my favorite thing about you.
My accusations. But
that's not enough. You know, they're almost there. They're getting kind of tired. What you need to do next is play the theme song of the Aqua Bears album. So you give it to the DJ. And he's like, this song actually sucks. We've listened to it for like years and years and we don't want to anymore. And then you just kind of persist. You're like, no, play it. And he's like, all right, fine. He plays it. And that is enough to put all of the Aqua Bears to sleep.
Mm.
So then when they're all asleep, you free Sam. But you need to, the portal is open. You need to get through. But you're going to destroy the portal so the Aqua Bears can't go with you. And you remember that the head you have to disarm earlier in the game? So you have to do that again, but it's the head of the founder of the Aqua Bears, like the whole theme park. Shoot, I swear I wrote down his name.
Is it not Captain Aqua Bear?
No, it's Duncan B. Phils, who created Captain Aqua Bear and his theme park. Captain Aqua Bear was like the star of the park.
Duncan B. Phils?
Yeah, F-I-L-L-S.
Okay. I'm actually on the wiki right now. It says Duncan B. Dills.
Oh, I might have misspelled it. Wouldn't that just be too crazy?
Do you know who voices Duncan? Steve Purcell.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, Duncan is the character in the Sam and Max world voiced by Steve Purcell.
That's crazy. The very first one.
Yeah, Duncan B. Dills. It's a good name, if it's what its name is. That's Steve Purcell. Huh.
That's awesome.
So he created the park.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you use his head that has a bomb inside to blow up the portal like after you leave through the portal to make sure the Aqua Bears can't get through. But Captain Aqua Bear does.
Oh, shit. Okay, so you have a...
He comes out of the portal and he's freaking gigantic.
Okay, that's...
And so then the final part of the game is you need to stop him.
And that's like a big boss fight?
Yeah, that's like the big finale climax of the game. And you do this by... So you have to remember the combination you used to put them to sleep in the nightclub. There's dumpsters just full of discarded Scrumpo's chips. So you need to climb up. There's a crane that you use to pick them up and drop them on the on Captain Aquabear. Max helps you out. He's there's a part where the crane breaks, and so he goes over to I guess not do anything with it, but you have to climb okay. up and you have to climb up and manually it's kind of like monkey bars. You have to climb across the poles to get to the emergency release hatch to drop the scrumpos on Captain Aquabear. I failed this a few times because my arms were getting very tired at this point. But it was fun. So then there's also just like a big sort of water tower that's a can of the Dr. Dill soda that you have to dump on him. And then you have to, you use the hoverboard from earlier. You have to plug in Sam's record player that has the Aquabear's record on it into a stereo tower. And that puts him to sleep. So you need to blow up the portal that he's coming out of. But you can't because there's a force field around it. And so, unfortunately, he did not stay asleep for long. He starts to wake up. But going through the portal made Max's, size start fluctuating.
Okay.
And so just when you think all is lost against Captain Aquabear, Max comes back in and he's giant. He's gigantic.
That's a good Max like, twist. Yeah.
Yeah. Just this gigantic Max.
It's happened a lot of times.
Max. Yeah. More than once.
More than twice.
A lot of times. Yeah. So he picks you up. You have to, like, go into Max's hand. And he, you just have this gigantic Max head just staring at you. It's pretty great. So he lifts you up to the portal. You need to use his ray gun to, like... There's just, like, a bunch of little puzzles here you need to do to destroy the portal. You use Max's ray gun to shoot, like, a bunch of orbs around the portal, like, power orb things. There's a puzzle where you have to like move the hands on a cuckoo clock to the right spot to open up to reveal a safe that you need to put the right code into. And then once you put that in, it destroys the portal, sucks Captain Aquabear back in, and you save the day.
Congrats.
I did a good job.
What's the theme? What's the story trying to get at?
The story is trying to get at you should probably not try to be like Sam and Max, and you should not want to be a freelance police.
Okay, but do you?
Yes, of course I do.
Yeah.
And you get to graduate.
Nice.
Yeah, you get your diploma.
It seems that at the end of the game, looking at the trivia section again, Lumpy's given a diploma recognizing their graduation and subsequent enrollment in the freelance police. On that diploma, you've got a few interesting details. It lists New York as the city that never sleeps of timeline designate SCEGFOD 37895A. Which implies that this is a timeline where Sam does not go with past Max to his timeline and instead stays in his own. So I guess we're finding out from that it's not a direct continuation of the timeline in Devil's Playhouse.
Look, all I know is I'm on an adventure with Sam and Max.
It directly states that the commissioner works along with the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Cool. Sam and Max both share their signatures, and Sam's signature says Sam D something?
Huh. I wonder what the D stands for. Probably dog.
Sam dog?
Yeah, Sam dog.
Sam dog millionaire. Huh. Sam dog. Sam... I'm looking at the picture of the diploma right now, and Sam is spelled out with mostly capital letters, but just very cursively. And then it's like a D, and then what looks like an N or an R or an A, like D-A-D-A-D-R. Sam Doctor. Sam. Sandra. Sam is short for Sandra.
Yeah. I'm down for that.
Yeah. You're part of the 37th graduating class, even though there are less than 10 official members of the Freelance Police. So
fun.
Yeah, I guess a lot of them left or died.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that I saw that. That's a fun little document.
Yeah. There is one little thing that ties into the Telltale Games directly.
What's that?
Bosco's is closed down.
Oh.
No more Bosco's. Sam says, I was upset when Bosco's store was closing down, but it's being replaced with a new cupcake store.
Nude cupcakes?
New. Oh. Just like a
that's
new one.
Normal, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, it says here that if you put a plastic cup against the wall, you can hear flint paper.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's an audio appearance of a older character. Although Flint Paper is not a Telltale
that's
character.
Cool.
He predates those no. games.
Yeah, that's still cool though. I like Flint Paper showing up. I might need to boot it back up and try to do that.
Flint Paper feels like the kind of character that could spin off into a new game, and that new game would feel nothing like Sam & Max, and no one would even know.
It could just be like a straight up detective story.
Yeah, like you know the movie Machete?
No.
There's a movie called Machete starring Danny Trejo as Machete.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of it. I know
it. Do you know where Machete's from?
No.
It's a character in Spy Kids. and then like Machete spins off and it's a very hard rated R movie about the character of Machete, who's definitely the character from Spy Kids. But like you would never know that it's a spinoff of Spy Kids at all.
That's insane.
Yeah, I feel like Flint Paper could do a similar thing.
I agree. I feel like you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Good for him. I'm trying to think of if there's anything left to say. I feel like I did a bad job summing all this up. I was really jumping around, but that's okay.
That's fine.
So each area of the theme park, at least one of the mini games is an obstacle course. And so the first one was okay. You know, we were still kind of getting used to it. The motion controls and stuff. And it was pretty fun. The second one, though, was giving both me and Adam did it, but it was giving us a lot of trouble. I don't know if it was like our equipment or our setup or what, but it seemed very uncooperative. Mm. There's one part where there's these clown boppers that have swords that are attacking you. And It came down to us, we just weren't doing it right, but it also just seemed like it wasn't registering, like, our heights or our placement right. Like, it seemed like we would always get hit by the one in the middle and not get hit by the other two, like, at all, even if we were, like, nowhere near the one in the middle, but were, like, getting hit by the ones on the left and right sides. So that was very weird and annoying.
Hmm.
But it turned out we were supposed to, if you hold down two of the buttons, you'll like ball your hand into a fist, and you need to punch the clown boppers out of your way. So we were doing it wrong, but it still did not seem like it was like registering us right. It seemed like there were a few times where like it was having trouble getting our heights. Like, it seemed like sometimes it would put us, like, higher than we should be or shorter. Like, it more than a few times, it was putting us in, like, weird, not right spots. So that was a little... I want to say this game, while fun, maybe not the most polished game out there.
I've certainly gotten that impression. Well, Dustin, altogether, how do you feel about it? How, like, what's your big takeaway?
I thought it was okay. You know, I think I would say it's the worst Sam and Max game, but that's because I like all the Sam and Max games a lot. And yeah, like I said, it's really is just a mixed bag quality wise, but you know, there's lots of good stuff in there. Oh, one game I didn't talk about that I really liked. You know, the monster at the beginning with the multiple heads mm-hmm. that you blow up. So one of the heads you keep and it becomes like, an animal attraction at the park.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so you have like a bunch of buttons in front of you. There's like a bell, there's buttons, there's like a honky horn, and each one plays a sound that makes the sea animal do something. And so there's like an obstacle course of like hoop, beach balls in the air, and each one of those things you can press will make it do a different thing. And so you just want to get through the course and hit all of the objects, make the sea animal do flips, somersaults through the hoops. So you just need to time. You need to press the right thing at the right time. And then sometimes it'll ask you to give it pets and feed it fish.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun. That's one, like, the first time I did it. A lot of these games, I felt like the first time I do it and then I do really bad and then I do it again and I get it and I do a lot better. It takes a little bit to like get what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it seems kind of old school in that way.
Yeah, and you think that's fine. I you know, I wasn't like frustrated. I just thought, oh, okay, I got it. This time I'll do it. And it was fine. The third obstacle course has a neat little, I guess, Easter egg. You know those Sam and Max action figures that were made not that long ago?
I guess. Yeah, I think so.
Those are in the game.
Whoa. Like Amiibo.
Yeah, like the actual action figures they made, they put those exact models in the game. There's just a part in the obstacle course where you have to, they're like falling from the ceiling and you have to catch them and put them on the shelves in the right spots.
That's fun.
Yeah, I thought that was neat to put like the real life figures of them in there. But yeah, sorry, that was getting away from your question. Yeah, I had a good enough time with it. Some jank holds it back. 6 out of 10, I guess.
Okay. Dustin, I asked before we started the podcast if you had like regular segments this time. So let's throw it. Let's see what we can do. Do you have a weekly guy?
I do have a weekly guy. I have a couple. My runner-up is going to be Captain Aquabear. Sure. He's just like a cool design, mm-hmm. having a pirate water bear. But for my weekly guy, I'm going to give it to Max. I think Max does a great job, especially since Sam has kind of taken out of commission for the whole last part of the game. Max is the one who like comes up with a plan, really helps you out. He's really gung-ho about saving Sam. Up until then, you know, it's not a very... There's not like a whole ton of characters in this game. I didn't mention there are some new characters too. I forgot to write down their names, but there's a woman who's painting on the street that you talk to. There's like a rat queen you talk to. There's a guy at a gyro stand. And I guess they weren't important enough to write their names down. They're not like all right. big parts of the story, but it was cool to just get like new faces in a Sam and Max game.
Ooh, I'm looking at a list of character names. We got Helios Papadopoulos, who I assume is
that's the Euro stand. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah. That's great.
It says he might be a Greek god.
That sounds right.
Okay. Okay. How about your, I guess a choice cut would be inappropriate, but how about your golden moment?
So I wrote down golden game where I just put the escape room that I thought was very good. I already talked about it, but yeah, I like that one a lot. It just felt good figuring out what to do. Sam and Max have witty banter throughout. Yeah, that was a good one.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's sufficient. Yeah. We did it.
Yeah, it's tough to come up with segments for a game only one of us played that is so different from everything else we've played on the show.
Sure. I mean, I'm glad that you played it, and I'm glad that we have that experience.
Yeah, I'm glad I played it. I didn't love it, but I'm glad I played it.
Yeah, I really wanted to. I made a firm attempt. It was not half-hearted.
I'm proud of you.
I'm more proud of you, because you actually succeeded at your attempt.
Yeah, I killed it.
So,
I think I'm the weekly guy.
Well, with that in mind.
Yeah, how's that grab you?
It grabs me firm. With that in mind, next week? I guess next week, just next week, right? No skips?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, next week we'll be heading into our seventh from the last episode of this podcast until Wolf Among Us 2. And that would be the first episode of Hector Badge of Carnage.
Oh boy, I can't wait.
Yeah, I have played it before. Dustin has not. And we'll leave it at that. We'll talk to you next week about it. You can play along at home this time, because Hector is a currently available game on Steam and stuff. So, yeah, you can still get it. You can still get it. Telltale's still publishing it, unlike a lot of their bigger games. Very old school, yeah, point-and-click adventure.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Kind of a, I don't want to say a breath of fresh air, but it is kind of, you know, we haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah, like just a full traditional point-and-click. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And it feels good to do that, like, right at the end as we're going into something else, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Hey, Dustin, totally. So we'll see you next week for that. Hey. And until next time, have a great summer.
Have a great summer!
Have a great summer!